White, J.E. White, Emma. Hobart, Tasmania. December 11th, 1895. Dear children, I commenced to write you some things in regard to Fanny, but I think it not best. The poor girl will have hard time enough in getting along. I will not make it any harder for her. I put this over the matter I commenced to write, several lines marked out in original, and repage, for I take out 2 pages. It is enough to state Fanny has no longer any connection with me in the work. I pity her most sincerely. I fear for her soul, but I wish her no harm. She has caused me great sorrow, but may the Lord forgive her is my prayer. It is the same desire for her superior talents to be recognized. This time she has been sufficiently punished. I have tried to get Sister Burnham to help me, but she has become wedded to the Echo office, so there is no prospect of her help. But I shall not concern myself about this matter. When no help can be had, then my writings will be waiting to be prepared all the same. I may be sleeping then, but I see time is so short, and I want to do so much in every place where people come out from the churches and take their position upon the platform of eternal truth. They must have a simple house of worship where they can assemble. I have used my influence in this line. I greatly desire that my books shall be issued, that they shall furnish me means to invest in the various lines where means must be had. I must now make every effort to bring in means to advance the work in this country. Upon this island, Tasmania, means must be invested in building a humble house for the Lord. They have had the loan of a meeting house, small, but neat and new. This was granted with rent free on account of Brother Lacey, May Lacey White's father. But he has moved away, and now the man who preaches has himself turned them from the church, and there is no suitable place where they can meet. All are poor here. I said I would invest £25 if the church here would raise as much, in order to have a camp meeting now. Our camp meeting is a success. The Lord has greatly blessed us. The people come out to hear, and the churches are being helped. They have a nice little church at Bismarck, about 15 miles from here. But in this city, Hobart, there must be a church, and it must be planned while we are here. Yesterday, Brother Wilson spoke in the forenoon, I in the afternoon. In the evening, Professor Prescott gave a rousing discourse upon the law and gospel. Contributions Sunday afternoon and evening were $15. That is doing nicely toward helping bear the expenses of the meeting. We are now to have meetings every night, Sabbath and Sunday. Then I speak Wednesday, Sabbath, and Sunday. Then our meetings will close. Tuesday morning we take the boat for Sydney and shall have the pleasure of being at home once more, if the Lord will. This meeting, it is reported, has given character to the work of God in advancing the truth, setting it before the people in its true lines. When the prejudice is swept away, we can then work this field. But, Edson, you may be assured this island, that was first settled by convicts, is not the most religious, pious place in the world. Meeting houses abound in plenty, but shall there not be one place of worship where the truth shall be presented? We must have a witness in this place. I want money so much for the purpose of the good it can do in these places. I cannot tell you how much I should be pleased, if the Lord wills, to have you and Emma come here, and you could both help us. I could have some help from Edson. He could labor in word and doctrine in all the regions round about. But seek the Lord to know your duty. If anything should hedge up your work in the southern field, consider, I entreat of you, your mother's need of help in the bookmaking line. No one has any time to give to this law of work. Kurenbong is to be my home. It is the most favorable climate for me, not too hot, neither too cold, nor as changeable as Melbourne climate, and not as disagreeable. I have a home built in Avondale Tract ready for occupancy as soon as we can transfer our household goods after we return home. January will find us settled, if the Lord will, on the school grounds. I am pleased to write you these camp meetings in Melbourne and Tasmania have been the best we have ever attended. We have had precious unity among our ministers and workers. Our hearts seem to be knit together as the heart of one man, and this is worth everything to us. I praise the Lord for this. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit has been seen in the discourses given, in the Bible lessons, in the education of workers, and with the believers. They never have had such privileges in hearing the riches of the truth presented in clear, distinct lines. Yes, the people have been eating of the bread of life and drinking of the waters of life.
These meetings cost money, and yet we must have them. I am, as I have told you, investing all the means I can command, but when you are entering new, poverty-stricken districts, it requires strong purpose and strong faith to push forward when there seems so little means to use. But the time is short. We cannot wait to see our way all laid open. We must go as far as we can see, and then still advance. Faith is not sight. Neither is it feeling. We must go forward by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We have a very rich Father, and we can look to Him and trust in Him, and with persevering energy work onward and upward, planting the standard of truth in new fields. Our publications are doing much, very much, like silent messengers in this country. There is an efficiency in our publications, and many come to the knowledge of the truth who have no opportunity of hearing a discourse. I wish I had strength to communicate many things to you. I do not cease to pray for you. I hold you before the footstool of mercy, that the Lord will guide you and give you the Holy Spirit in large measure. My dear children, I cannot have anything more like cold water to a thirsty soul than to have the assurance that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you can stand in the place before the people as a minister of righteousness and proclaim the truth. Let not the enemy divert your mind from the light which the Lord has repeatedly given me. This is your work, holding forth the word of life to the people. In this work, if you work carefully and prayerfully before God, listening to His voice, the Lord will give you many souls as the result of your labors. Satan has worked with all his power to keep you from the very work the Lord has called you to engage in. Anytime you shall feel God calls, come to this country. There are just such workers needed here. We need 20 more workers just now, but we have not the means to pay them. These large cities are to be worked, and now is our day and opportunity. I am writing while all in the house are sleeping. You are to count as God's workers. Now, Edson, I want you to go forward in your bookmaking. We would be pleased to give close attention to this work and help you if we possibly could. This matter seems all right to meet the present emergency. I do wish you could help me on my revision of book on temperance. The one who is supposed to help me has been a great burden to me since she came to Australia. I have borne and done everything that I could do to help Fanny. But when she gets into these tantrums, she seems inspired by Satan. She afterwards confesses, but not quite as fully heretofore as this time. But she cannot be trusted. She tried to get Sarah to put into her hands a letter written to Dr. Kellogg, so that she could see if there was anything written about her. Sarah told her she would never do that. She asked her, "What do you take me to be, Fanny? Is this the principle you would teach me, after being so long connected with Sister White in her work? Would you teach me to betray my trust, to steal a writing, a private letter to go to America, and put it in your hands to read its contents? This matter, she urged, and Sarah would not comply, and she was greatly stirred up over it. So you see what dependence I can put in such helpers. Now I make Sarah my typist and my companion in travel, as I did Emily. Emily was always true as steel, kind, tender, affectionate. She had moral backbone and took great care and great burden off me when I was traveling with her in New Zealand. The burden was too large for her to carry. She copied for me. She drove my team. She did the same as Sarah had done, and more. She was my bookkeeper, accurate and thorough and unselfish. She was a great blessing to me when I was so helpless in New Zealand. If you meet Emily, treat her exactly as if she were your sister. She has been as a faithful daughter to me. I let her go for her father and mother's sake, and the sedentary labor I feared was working ill with her health. Now I do hope that she will recover her health and be strong, for she had never known a day's sickness when she came with me, and she is one that cannot bear anything like sickness. She is tender and was very sensitive of me if I was indisposed or ailing in any way. She cannot endure to see anyone in pain. I would like you to let Dr. Kellogg see this or read it to him, for if he has any chance to see Emily, I want him to know she has been a great blessing to me and trustworthy. But it is against her to be so thorough, for she will give of her strength and rob herself in so doing. I think she would not and should not be a nurse to the sick.
Well, another point. Are you willing I should publish your books here in this country if I should see they would do good? I think it is just what the people need here, and I would use all the means coming from the sale in this country to build churches and to aid in the various ways that are demanded. Please let me know as soon as you decide this matter. I can help you to matter, and you can help me. I wish you were here. I cannot see why it is not your duty to come here and let others stand in the place you purposed in the South. Now, I do not ask you to come unless you shall yourself see light in this matter. But I want you, oh so much. I want you, if the Lord will. Where are my helpers coming from in bookmaking? Not that I want you to give yourself to this work exclusively, for the ministry is your field. Keep out of financial enterprises. Your strength is not there. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. This is your work. In doing this, you will have special help from God. Well, I thought my work was done in finishing the last two pages, but I will add a little more. Dear son Edson, I will urge you to keep searching the word, for light will come to you. Angels of God will be by your side and enlighten you. But if your mind is filled with schemes and plans, the precious light will become dim. The preparation for the work of God and scriptural knowledge will, if brought into practical life, make you a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I will now ask you if you can see anyone who will work for me to edit my articles and prepare manuscript for books. Have you thought of Sister Hall of Lancaster? I wish you would, if still in Battle Creek, consult with Brother and Sister Cavanis and get their judgment on this matter. I am in a great strait, not knowing what to do. I must have workers. I do not think Mary Stewart can fill the bill, do you? I do not. Evabel Giles has been proposed. I do not want any person who will feel it her prerogative to change the matter I shall give them into their own supposed beautiful, learned language. I want my own style to appear in my own words.
Will James Edson White give his mother the privilege of using the chapters he has prepared to be published and sold in this country? The avails received after the expenses met to be appropriated in building convenient houses of worship and for the various necessities of the cause that are constantly arising? For want of means, the work is bound about. This is just the book, as prepared, that will, we think, find sale. If this meets your mind, you can let me know as soon as possible, for we see the necessities continually arising, and my stock of means is running very low. I want to help. I long to help. I must help if possible. I want your decision. All who have looked at the book are pleased with it. No criticisms have been made. We leave here on the 17th, shall arrive in Sydney the 19th of December, if the Lord prospers us with favorable passage. But my burden is for this country, that we will not be so restricted in means we will have to drop out our camp meetings next year. There must be camp meeting in Sydney, and should be one in another locality in Hobart. This is our only successful way to reach our cities. They should have camp meeting in Melbourne next year, and, we are determined, it shall be if the Lord will favor us. Camp meeting will have to be held in Queensland another year, and in Christchurch if it can be possibly effected. So you see, we mean work, earnest work. I think a camp meeting should be held near Newcastle just as soon as possible, or in Currumbong. Wish we could hold one this year. I think, Edson, as you proposed, the book which has my name will give it more extensive sale and influence. It can be stated, if you think best, that it was compiled for publication by her son, James Edson White. Please consider this matter carefully and follow your best judgment, consulting with brethren Tate and Olson. You need not consult those whom I have no confidence in, who are in position as book committee, unless obliged to do this. They should have been left off that committee a long while ago, and if they remain, the publishing work, bookmaking, will become narrowed down. Let men be placed upon the committee to examine books who have some intelligence of what it means to make books. Great injustice has been done for want of proper persons to judge of the value of the manuscript placed in their hands. Men need tact of appreciation and spiritual eyesight, and the fear and love of God to pronounce judgment on our books to be published. Mother, will you please to keep the matter of Caldwell and Fanny to yourselves?